Welcome to the Think Yourself Healthy podcast, where you meet the intersection of mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Heather Duranja, founder of Nutrition Vixen, registered dietitian, nutritionist, personal trainer, and cognitive behavioral specialist. I'm a mother, author, self-improvement junkie, and recovering perfectionist turned professional half-asser. Each week, I'll be bringing on a guest or a topic that will help you go from surviving to thriving. Are you with me? All right, here we go with today's episode. Hey, everybody. On today's show, I want to introduce our special guest. Her name is Beautiful. She is the beautiful Heather McConaughey.
Did I say it right?
I always butcher names. So, oh my God. Yay, Heather. Over this Heather. So Heather is a registered nurse turned nutritionist, podcast host, and mindset coach who inspires the millennial woman to transform her body, mind, and soul to achieve her dreams. She left emergency room nursing burnt out to start coaching women in nutrition, and her business quickly grew. She quit nursing 6 months later and hasn't looked back. Founder and host of the Positive Thread podcast, she has a passion for sharing her knowledge on how to transform in body, mind, and soul, and helping women is her passion. She lives in Hawaii currently, but loves being a digital nomad. Amazing. I love that. So were you actually nursing? Were you doing nursing in Hawaii?
No, I quit nursing about 2 years ago. I've been running my business full time now for 2 years. So okay. Yeah, I haven't worked as a nurse for a while.
Wow. Well, Heather, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for being here today. I am excited to have a chat with you. And both you and I are very like-minded in the sense that we believe in the whole body, mind, soul approach. And obviously, we're both dedicated to helping women achieve their fullest potential and live their best life. So it's always exciting for me when I meet women like you who have a similar mission, because the reality is we cannot do this alone. We have to do it together. And you and I had an opportunity to meet earlier, actually start our 2020 off together. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, that was an extremely emotional experience. We signed up for this thing called Event Love, hosted by the amazing Lori Harder and Lindsay Schwartz. And I purchased it with this mindset thinking that this was going to help build my skills as a facilitator. And what I ended up going there and receiving was literally 5 years worth of personal development in 5 days in order to enhance my facilitating skills. So I was not prepared walking into the environment initially. However, I quickly understood the importance of why we had to do that work in order to step up and, you know, basically raise our game in order to be the facilitators and the event host and speakers that we want to be. So anyway, long story short, I got sat next to this beautiful Heather and we started chatting and our stories, you know, really just connected, and my heart just absolutely loved her heart immediately. And so I'm so excited that we're here to share your story and talk about your mission and spend some time together.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I mean, I love getting to talk to any other Heather. It's really my pleasure and honor to be here, and I hope to provide massive value for anyone listening.
Of course you will. I have full confidence. So Heather, tell me, what brought you to Hawaii?
So I have been living in Austin, Texas for 7 years, and I had visited Hawaii a few times, and you might hear this from other people who visited the islands and especially Kauai, but the island called me, and people say that the island calls them, and I felt this need to go to the island, and my business was successful. I could literally do it from anywhere with Wi-Fi, and I decided to take this leap of faith and sell my house in Austin, pay off my student loan debt in full, and move to Kauai to start a new chapter Wow. And I really feel that I was called here to do inner healing work, which I've been doing for the past 6 months.
That's amazing. I completely understand and can relate to that story. I think you and I had, you know, kind of shared our stories, and I had told you how California called me, specifically Laguna called me, and I could not resist it. I had to just take the risk and explore. And honestly, it was one of the best decisions for myself. But I can also relate to doing that inner work. I went up to Northern California during the winter last year when I was dating myself and put that inner work in. And it literally was the best gift I ever could have given myself. So fulfilling, so hard. Oh my gosh. Such a challenge.
Yeah, so, there was definitely some intense moments here on Kauai when I first got here. It's amazing how when you take away all the distractions of modern life, like there's no Target, there's no Whole Foods, there's basically no movie theaters, there's no nightlife. And so I was really confronted with just being with myself and my emotions and my triggers and my patterns. And it gave me a lot of space and time to start doing that inner work, going inside that inner journey. And it's been extremely healing for me.
Did you resist that calling initially to do the work? Was there any resistance around it?
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting because I've actually worked over the past 6 months to free myself from my chronic caffeine addiction.
Okay. As a nurse, I can understand how that was integrated into your routine.
Definitely. The medical world, especially emergency room care, runs on caffeine. Yeah. And it was something that I was using not just for energy, but also to cope with negative emotions. Mm. So for me, caffeine is a big mood booster. And I wanted to quit caffeine when I first moved to the islands, and I had this intention to do so, and I fell off the wagon so quickly. And I realized that I was using caffeine and my workaholic patterns to try to numb myself out again. And on Kauai, the island was like, nope, you are not doing that. And like things just started to fall apart almost emotionally for me. And I realized that I couldn't drive myself in my workaholic patterns that had worked on the mainland. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't use caffeine the same way. And things just were like not working. And I had to actually be like, I surrender to this process. Here we go. So yes, to answer your question, there was definitely resistance that manifested in my old coping patterns.
So did you go cold turkey or did you wean yourself off?
So it has been a journey. For anyone who's listening who struggled with caffeine addiction, please send me a message on Instagram and say, me too, girl, I got it.
Right.
So it's a challenge. I tend to do better with cold turkey, honestly, because I find the ritual of coffee very addictive. Like I love going to the coffee shop. I love ordering my drink. I like taking it to the beach and enjoying it. So for me, it's almost like I have to just cut it out. If I try to scale it back, it doesn't work. And so I had quit it at the beginning of the year and I was like 30 days clean. And then I fell off the wagon and had a relapse. And then I'm back on the wagon. I'm drinking like this tea right now instead of coffee. And I've learned that part of recovering from any addiction, whether it's workaholism, alcohol, food, sugar.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, really, Siri? She did not agree.
You have an editor, right?
So I can of course. But actually, those are fun things to leave in.
Cool. My watch just started talking to me. So what I learned is that any addiction that you have, whether it's alcoholism, shopaholism, coffee, sugar, you know, over-exercising, whatever you're using to numb out, it's normal to relapse as you are healing that old coping pattern. So yeah. I have had a lot of grace and compassion for myself, but yes, I have fallen off the wagon and I'm currently on the wagon.
Yeah. Well, good for you. And I think you're right. I think that goes for any kind of behavior that we're trying to change. There's always going to be that resistance. There's always going to be that relapse. And instead of our judging ourselves and thinking that that's a negative thing, I think we have to really embrace it because it's an opportunity to learn something about ourselves. What was the trigger? What was the thing that caused us to go back to this place that we so desperately, you know, were trying to escape? And in that process of being able to identify it, it allows us to start problem solving, coming up with new solutions so that in the future we can identify those triggers quicker and then have a plan in order to overcome a complete relapse. Or, you know, I know for me right now it's negative thinking. And so my brain wants to go to that default place of having that small talk of, you know, oh girl, you're not good enough or you're not worthy and deserving of XYZ.
Yeah, I think it's so important to have something that kind of breaks you out of your pattern. And so whether it's like clapping your hands really loudly or just like making a weird noise or like jumping up and down or like being like, I don't do that anymore. Or, you know, just like something to kind of break that automatic default mode in your brain. That has been something that's helped me. And then one of my friends actually coached me to, when I crave coffee and I'm like, oh, an iced espresso sounds so amazing right now, make me feel so good. She reminds me to actually say why I don't want to drink coffee. And coffee actually makes me feel bad. It makes me jittery. It makes me edgy. It makes me not sleep well. It, you know, disrupts my digestion. It disrupts my blood sugar and I crave sweet things. And going through the negative consequences of the behavior consciously has also helped me, you know, stay sober off my caffeine.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I use something similar for myself. I have a intolerance allergy to wheat, dairy, and chickpeas. However, chickpeas aren't as tempting as wheat and dairy. And so I don't have to have this talk so much with myself about chickpeas. Those are like the one thing I'm like, oh yeah, no, I can't have those. But when it comes to the wheat and dairy, I literally have to have that talk with myself. You're going to break out in hives. Your stomach is going to have stabbing pains within a matter of 15 to 20 minutes. You're going to be in the bathroom vomiting. You're going to look 9 months pregnant. It's going to take you somewhere between 5 days to 5 weeks for the inflammation to resolve itself. And I have to just go through the process of reminding myself all the reasons why I don't want to participate in that behavior. And sometimes that talk isn't strong enough. And I'm like, fuck it. I don't care. I'm eating it. It's mine. And then I am mindfully aware going into the activity, knowing exactly what the consequences are. And then, you know, it kind of takes that victimization out of it to an extent. But yeah, I know that talk really well. So I feel you on that. I like it.
Yeah, I love what you said about like doing it mindfully if you are going to choose it. Mm-hmm. So I decided to have a glass of champagne the other week with my friend to celebrate our 2019s and our business. And I honestly don't really drink anymore. I've discovered that I have an intolerance to alcohol. It actually makes me feel really bad pretty much no matter what I drink. And I've chosen not to drink alcohol, not because like I'm an alcoholic and I just like my life falls apart if I drink it. I choose not to drink it because it doesn't make me feel good. Mm-hmm. And I made a conscious choice that I wanted to engage in this ritual. I do enjoy the taste of champagne. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could get stomach pain from it because that happens. I might have a headache. I might not sleep well tonight. I might feel bloated and inflamed in my belly. And I'm willing to accept the consequences of that. And I know that I can get back on track. But I love that, like being mindful of any choice you make and the consequences of it. That's really what I teach my clients too, right? Like there's no good or bad foods. There's, right. You know, it's like, what's your goal? And is this thing you're about to choose getting you closer to your goal?
Absolutely. I think that's the appropriate approach when it comes to being able to really find the balance and take the fear out of, you know, the choices that we're making. If we're going into it and we're really mindful and we know exactly what the consequences are, then it's really hard to victimize ourselves, right? Like We can't numb ourselves out and say, oh my God, I don't understand why this happened to me. Well, guess what? You know exactly why this happened to you because you chose to go there. You knew exactly what the consequences were going to be. But for a long time, I didn't have that mindset. And I would stay in that victim place, especially when it comes to like negative thinking and those kind of practices. So tell me how you think that eating is essential for transforming our bodies. So you were a nurse and then you transition into this nutritionist position. So kind of talk to me what led you down that pathway? Because I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. All of the nurses that I have ever had the pleasure of knowing and working alongside and working with, they literally have some of the unhealthiest behaviors. Like they do not take care of themselves at all. It saddens me. I think police officers and nurses tend to be two of the unhealthiest populations who are out there serving us.
Definitely. And it is really sad. And I saw this too in the medical world. And everyone in the medical world, from nurses to techs to doctors to surgeons to the administrative staff, I saw people be really unhealthy. And I was unhealthy as a nurse. You know, some of it is cultural within the industry. Mm-hmm. So I worked in nursing jobs where we would have a rough shift and the manager would buy us pizza to help us cope with the tough shift. Or I worked with a manager who brought around candy at 4 p.m. like we were small children who responded to like a reward of chocolate. You know, it was like kind of bizarre practices. And when I worked in the ER, people ordered these warm cookies to be delivered to us practically every day.
Wow.
And if you work, say, the night shift or you work a different shift, it can be your sleep schedule is off, so you're cortisol is raised, so you crave foods that aren't good for you. Then it's the middle of the night, you're hungry. The only places that are open that deliver food are pizza joints. And so if you aren't preparing your own food and bringing it to the hospital, the options are very limited. Mm-hmm. So I had gained weight as a nurse. I wasn't happy in my body. And I decided to slowly make changes. I was working a very sedentary nursing job. Some jobs are you're on your feet all day, but you can have a nursing job where you sit at a desk and barely move. Mm-hmm. I had one of those jobs. I had gained weight and I made a commitment to myself that I would just start by walking 1 hour a day on my 4 days off a week. That was it. I didn't even change my nutrition. And within that 6 month period, I lost 8 pounds. And I was like, okay, that was nice. But at that time, I still didn't really understand how to fuel my body properly. I was eating a ton of sugar. I experimented with being vegan, like that would be healthier, but I pretty much just baked vegan cookies and ate them all the time. So it really wasn't healthier. And then this led me down a path of, I bought a online program called Tone It Up and I tried their nutrition guidelines. I think they're fabulous in a lot of ways. They taught me so much about eating healthy foods and they really got me on my journey. And then I decided to try CrossFit. And it was like one step after another. And what happened in CrossFit is I lost weight and I started getting stronger, but I also lost muscle. So then I was like, okay, what I'm doing food-wise isn't quite right. I shouldn't lose 3 pounds of muscle while I'm lifting weights. Mm-hmm. So then I tried strategies like just eating more. Because like, oh, I'm working out so hard, I can eat all I want. And I actually had a friend who was very ripped and had a six pack and she ate pizza and ice cream regularly while doing CrossFit. So I tried the pizza and ice cream diet. You can probably imagine what happened. My body did not respond by creating abs. Mm-hmm. And I ended up gaining back all of that weight I had just lost over the course of 3 months, despite working out 2 hours a day. And I was so frustrated. I was so upset. I literally broke down in tears in my CrossFit coach's office when I got my body fat scan done. And that's when I was like, I need help. Like, I can't do this alone. I'm doing something wrong. And I hired a coach and I started tracking my food and understanding the importance of eating quality food and the right quantity of food for my activity and goals. And in 3 months, I lost 9 pounds of fat. I gained a pound of muscle and I literally was the strongest I had ever been in the gym. I could do weighted pull-ups, handstand push-ups. I could clean and jerk my body weight over my head. And I was only 120 pounds. So I'm really petite, but I got super strong. And it led me down this path where I got certified in a nutrition program. And then I just started experimenting on my body. And honestly, I just had people start asking me what I was doing. And that's how my business got born. I wasn't even really trying to start a business. I wasn't really trying to be a nutrition coach. I just was solving the problem that I had had for myself of working out hard and not seeing results. And once I got it for myself, I was like, oh my God, I want to share this with every woman who needs help because I understood her frustration. Mm-hmm.
So how did sleep play a role through this process? Did you change anything with your sleep behaviors?
So my sleep was always something that was pretty good for me, but I definitely made changes. Like I eliminated or reduced alcohol because I discovered alcohol was really disturbing my sleep. Mm-hmm. I had to work 2 weeks of night, and I actually noticed that I had a belly bloat during that time, and I felt like I gained weight even though I wasn't eating more. So I got off night shift, and even though I worked three 12-hour shifts as a nurse, I made sure I prioritized rest on my days off. I wasn't partying and like staying out till 4 a.m. like a lot of nurses do to cope. And those things I think also really helped. I always teach my clients, like, if you're going to train like an athlete or work out hard, you need to recover like an athlete. So I was working out hard and I really made sure I prioritized my sleep as well.
Yeah, that's great. Cause I feel like sleep is such a core component in allowing the nutrition and the exercise a yes. safe space to do what it needs to do. If we're neglecting the sleep and we're not, you know, managing our stress, it's really putting us at a disservice for being able to support the nutrition and exercise efforts over long periods of time sustainably. So, you know, I want to point out, you were talking about recognizing that when you drank alcohol, that impacted your sleep. And I've got the Oura Ring and I'm a data geek. I love to collect data. And so I always find it so fascinating whenever I drink alcohol, it raises my body temperature. It increases my heart rate. And then my quality of sleep suffers significantly. And then what happens the next day is because I slept really poorly and I had the alcohol, I'll have cravings through the roof. My cravings will go through the roof. I won't have the cognitive clarity that I need to be able to have the willpower to resist the cravings. Like I literally will just be like, so again, when we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, like, do I want to drink this alcohol? I want to drink it, but here's what's going to happen. I need to be mindful that tomorrow I'm going to have cravings, increased cravings for foods that I normally wouldn't have a desire to eat. I'm going to be cranky. It's going to cause temporary hormonal disruption, blah, blah, you know, and I like literally have to go through that. And occasionally, sometimes it'll be like, yep, it's totally worth it. I'm all in. Let's do this thing, you know? And then the next day I'm like, oh gosh, yeah, that's right. I chose this. And I can't victimize myself. Like, I'm like, I chose this. I literally chose this. Okay, Heather, put your big girl panties on. Let's do this thing because you actively chose this. So I think it's just about taking responsibility for our actions. And when we can be honest and do that, it's a game changer.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I really believe in being cause in the matter of your life. And there were certain areas in my life where I was being that way. Mm-hmm. But then there were other areas where I was being a victim. And I was being a victim of, why can't I get results? Why can't I see? I'm working out so hard. I'm doing all the things.
Right.
And the truth was, I actually was not eating well at all. Mm-hmm. And I needed to change those things to see the results I want. And I love teaching that to my clients too. They kind of, you know, I'm kind of known as no bullshit. Uh-huh. Like I love
it's people. Heather thing.
It's a Heather thing, I think maybe. Like we're both no bullshit, but it's like, yeah. You know, lying to yourself isn't going to get you the results. Telling the truth to yourself about your strengths and your weaknesses is going to give you access to transformation.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. So tell me, you know, I know for myself and my journey, incorporating the coping mechanisms around stress and mindfulness was really challenging. And so for years and years and years, I had people telling me, you got to meditate, you got to do the breath work, you got to do the things, you got to do the personal development. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm good over here. I got my nutrition, I got my exercise down, just leave me alone. Okay. And then over time, I ended up, you know, getting diagnosed with cancer. And I was like, what the, how is this even possible? I became really angry, but then I had to be honest with myself and say, okay, well, where are you not showing up in your life that's serving you in your best interest? And for me at the time, I was control freak, perfectionist, trying to do anything and everything I could, you know, being the hustler, working a full-time dietitian job in the clinical world, bartending nights and weekends to make end meet, not managing stress, not sleeping appropriately, abusing caffeine, all of the things. So after I got that diagnosis, I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this whole thing that I gotta like look into. And I'll tell you, I resisted it so hard. It was so hard for me. Like it literally took several years for me to transition myself into healthier behavioral patterns around developing routines with meditation and mindfulness and self-talk and, you know, personal development as well as breath work. I think breath work was probably the last piece. And it was the one I was the least aware I had any issues with. So I remember calling a girlfriend one day and saying, hey, let's go to the beach. I just need to relax. So we show up at the beach. We're sitting on a blanket, staring out at the ocean as the sun's getting ready to set. And next thing I know, she leans over and like punches me in my arm. And she's like, are you going to breathe? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm breathing. She's like, no, you're not. You have been holding your breath since we sat down. And I had no idea. Like I literally had no idea that I was that uptight and I was not breathing. And then after I was able to identify that I had such a difficult time with breathing, I started recognizing it. And then I noticed like when I was in the gym and I was lifting weights, I wasn't breathing. Like I, no wonder I'm not gaining any muscle. I'm not letting oxygen in my body. You know, it was like, oh my God, what the heck? So anyway, that was a real challenge for me. So talk to me and tell me about your journey with those kind of things. Was it easy? Was it something that you just naturally adapted, or were there struggles for you as well?
Definitely struggles. I am not somebody who wakes up with a positive frame of mind. I wake up just like everybody else in the like stew of negative thoughts and emotions. And the reason I named my podcast The Positive Thread is because like I struggled to generate like positivity for myself. And I was like, I need a conversation that helps me create this positive mindset. And I was like, well, let me be the one who creates that. Let me start something where I can have people on and share things that are helping me. And so no, yeah, it was a challenge. And I think like anything, just like I built a muscle with eating, built a muscle with hydration, built a muscle with sleep, built a muscle with training appropriately, built a muscle with going to yoga once a week, all those things. I also had to build that mental mindset muscle, and I had to do practices every day. So I started with doing the 5-minute journal, which was one of my favorite journals, and I still use it. I started doing that 5 years ago. I still have them all. And that was like my little practice. It was like by my bedside. And that's what I started with. I used to scroll on my phone when I first woke up in the morning, but I started with that journal. And then I started adding my morning workout. So it was like, okay, I'm gonna do the journal and like get a workout in. Maybe it was a whole CrossFit class before a shift. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was just going for a 10-minute walk. Sometimes it was doing a 10-minute YouTube video in my living room, but I added that little exercise component. And I noticed that I felt better. Like I had a little spring in my step. And it's really for me been this process of adding things slowly. Now I do a journal practice. I pull a card from Gabby Bernstein's Super mm-hmm. Attractor Deck. Mm-hmm. I meditate now. I'm really proud of myself because I added meditation in December 1st of last year. And I'm now 2.5 months in with my daily meditation practice.
That's awesome.
Sometimes it's 10 minutes. Sometimes it's 30, but I think just, you know, wherever you're at, start there, start with something small, just like how I started my fitness journey. I started with just walking.
Yeah.
Didn't change anything else.
Yeah. Start I love that. And that is a core philosophy that I utilize with my coaching is that we have to start building that foundation. And the only way to build that sturdy foundation is one block at a time. And most people, you know, they try to overhaul every single behavior all at once. They're like, all right, it's January 1st. I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to start meal prepping. I'm going to start grocery shopping. I'm going to start meditating in the morning. I'm going to start journaling, blah, 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 blah. And then like 3 days in, they're like, oh my God, I don't have enough time for all this. This is exhausting. I can't keep this up. So, you know, and then ultimately it sets us up for failure, and we break those commitments and those promises to ourselves. So therefore we don't have the confidence that we can actually do it. And then we self-sabotage and we're stuck in that hamster wheel of, you know, vicious cycle. So I love the fact that you, very much are on the same page as myself, and you also experienced it that way. You know, I had to start small, one thing at a time, in order to build the sustainable behaviors. And for me, the very last part was more of that mind component. I started with the nutrition and the exercise, and then, you know, stress management and those things, but really that self-talk, that mindset piece was the hardest piece for me to actually incorporate.
Yeah. And I think it's always a journey. Like, it's not like I've made it, like I now have it all handled, like not at all. And even when you mentioned the breath work, I had never done breath work until Event Love. I had actually resisted it. Mm-hmm. And then I had a very powerful experience there, and I've tried incorporating it back in my routine. And honestly, it's not part of my routine yet. It hasn't stuck yet.
Yeah.
It's like the meditation has stuck, but like I'm still building the muscle now of like how to incorporate the breath work. So it's an evolution and journey for all of us.
Absolutely. Well, I had to hire a coach around the breath work. I had to hire somebody who actually helped walk me through it, because when I started doing the breath work, what I ended up finding out is I was judging myself. Like, am I doing it right? Is that breath deep enough? Is it too shallow? Why does it sound funny? Why isn't my ribs expanding the way that, you know, I'm like literally telling, like, Heather, you're just supposed to focus on breathing, and you're literally focused on everything but the actual breath work itself. So I did, I had to surrender and hire somebody to help guide me through that process, which was awesome, because then it took that judgment piece out. And then I was actually, you know, able to give the attention to the work that it needed. And I actually have had the opportunity to access my Kundalini energy. And it was literally one of the most profound, amazing experience. I've done a lot of drugs in my lifetime. And I'm telling you what, nothing had ever given me a high like the high I got from doing that breath work. Oh my God, it was amazing. I remember coming home and being like, pulling out my phone, going on Instagram. I was like, you guys, you're never going to believe this. Like, I literally, it was like orgasmic. It was so amazing. Like, I didn't even know it was possible. I had no idea that you could elevate and have that kind of intensity just through utilizing breath. Amazing.
Yeah, very powerful practice, but not always the easiest thing to implement.
Yeah, 100. Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's if I'm struggling, I hire a coach. I'm like, I am not going to waste time, go through the pain and suffering. I'm just going to hire whoever does it and is an expert at it and figure out how to do that so that I can have time and energy to do things elsewhere in my scope of genius.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what else is going on in your world? Since we left Event Love, what other things have you been doing? What have you been up to?
Well, I've actually been enjoying taking a little bit of a break in my life. Like I said earlier, I have some workaholic tendencies, and part of moving to Kauai has been me stepping back and slowing down a little bit. Slow down is actually like a motto on Kauai. You see it on billboards a lot. And I had a really powerful January. I traveled, and then I came back and had a really busy month in my business and had a bunch of new clients start. And then I had a friend come for my birthday, and I decided that I was going to actually rest in my success these past couple weeks. And I think that's such an important component that we learn to manifest for our health, that we slow down. We embrace our parasympathetic nervous system. So I've had so much fun. We went camping at the beach. We went to an amazing beach in Kauai for my birthday with me and two of my girlfriends. We camped overnight. We laid in the sand and we literally like held hands as friends and we just stared at the stars and it was so magical. And so I've really been focusing on having that rest component. Part of being a business owner, you know, is you can work when you want to work, take breaks when you want to take a break. So I've been doing that and then gearing up for like launching some new products in my business, some new things that I've been creating. And I've also had some cool breakthroughs around being more authentic. I don't know about you with social media, but I started my social media just like sharing my experience and what I was doing with my fitness. And then as I started running a business, I had these thoughts that I needed to like always be professional or like never share my struggle or like this weird thing. And so I've really been enjoying creating and writing more of my authentic story and sharing that. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with everything. And just
that's exciting.
Enjoying life on Kauai, and I have more friends coming to visit me. So I'm just embracing like my relational health, mm-hmm. not just like physical health.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important that when you're getting healthy, you focus on your spiritual health, mental health, relational health, financial health. You know, it's all connected.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately it's abundance, right? And we have to redefine how we approach abundance in our life. I think that more often than less, we equate it with materialistic gains and we don't, you know, stop and really think about how abundant we are. So when you're talking about, you know, going camping with your girlfriend and holding hands and looking up at the stars, those are all abundant moments. Like when someone's grinding so hard and they don't have the time to stop and take a breath, they're missing out on so many abundant moments in their life. So what's, you know, to me, I look at it like, what's the point of working myself to death if I'm not going to be able to stop and smell the roses? So for me, redefining abundance is such a powerful thing because then I get to approach life from a place of gratitude. And the more gratitude that I have, the higher I vibrate, the more joy I feel, the less pressure and stress I'm putting on myself to try and get that client or have that next program or do that next thing. And then they just naturally occur. They just kind of fall into place. It's not a forced, you know, thing. So for me, I recognized, I think it was 2017, that all of the hustle was not serving me. It was not serving me. It was literally blocking my ability to actually access abundance in my life. And I don't mean materialistic things. I'm meaning abundant moments that truly fulfilled my heart and brought me joy. And once I was able to really understand that, it shifted everything. And then all of a sudden, the financial opportunities just started showing up. I'm like, whoa, why didn't I give this shit up a long time ago? Like, I don't get it. Why was I standing in my own way? So,
I think it's so hard. If you are a successful person, you probably have gotten results by grinding and hustling and pushing. So it like can get you to a certain point. And then it's like, whoa, the rest of my life isn't working anymore. And like, I know for me, I had a fear of like, oh, if I step back a little bit, are things going to collapse? Am I going to go hungry? Is it all going to fall apart?
Right.
And I really learned to stand in my faith and my higher power that I've always been supported. I've always been taken care of. Why would I stop being taken care of?
Yep. Absolutely. And for me, you know, I recognize with my journey personally, that why I chose to get into certain situations was because ultimately I did not trust myself. I didn't trust myself that I had the ability to truly take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And so I kept picking these situations in life that ultimately were yielding the result where I wasn't being taken care of by others. And then that left me in a sense of not feeling worthy and deserving. Oh my God, I'm never going to find love. Why me? You know, all of that victim stuff. And then when I was able to stop and really look at it and be like, but wait a minute, through all of these things where I've always assumed the worst is going to happen, I've always been taken care of. So why can't I trust myself? Like, duh. Mm. Bitch, you standing in your own way. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God. And so, yeah. So it's funny how our brains work and how we have to have these lessons in life to prove to ourselves ultimately. And it's always simple. Like, it's always like, trust yourself. Just trust yourself. Okay, I can do that. And the second I chose to trust, because it's a choice. We get to choose. Like, I can wake up today and be like, I don't choose to trust myself, or I choose to trust myself. And so it's like literally as simple as that. And I know that that's a really challenging concept, but I think it's because we as humans like to overcomplicate everything, just like nutrition and exercise and sleep and getting off of caffeine and all of the things. We want to make it so much harder than what it actually is.
Yeah, definitely. It's a journey learning. I think it's like a shedding of layers, you know, pulling the mud off so you can reveal the masterpiece. That's really what I feel here on Kauai. It's I'm just shedding things that don't serve me so I can actually just radiate like who I truly am.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So I want to ask you a question. So the very last thing that we did at Event Love was the Angel Whisper. So I really haven't had an opportunity to talk to anyone since that experience. And so I'm curious to hear how that was for you.
Mm. Yeah. So the Angel Whisper, you know, is where you walk down this aisle and people are whispering like amazing things in your ears. And it was so valuable for me. I mean, like, I was sobbing during it. And for me, I had been struggling with some really like dark thoughts and like depression. And so to come into a space and feel loved and feel acknowledged for who I was, it just reminded me that the words we speak to others are so important, because you can literally speak someone into existence. Mm-hmm. You can help them manifest their dreams by the words that you speak to them. And so for me, it was very powerful. I was definitely on a dopamine high from that. And it's just been something that's, I remember it. And anytime I'm struggling with myself, or if I notice I'm going to a negative mindset, I can go back to remembering those beautiful things that people said to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, it was a really, aware. It was like a situation that really allowed me to have that, like, oh my gosh, wow moment about myself. And for me, what was, what I experienced was, as I was going through this, you know, walking down this aisle and having my eyes closed and people whispering in my ear these amazing things about myself and how I had impacted them or touched them in some way over this 5 days of experience, my brain was naturally going, you don't know me. You only met me five. Like, how can you even say that? And so ultimately, when I got to the end, my aha moment was, wow, Heather, you don't know how to receive. Wow. You do not know how to receive. You want to help everybody else, but you don't know how to receive it in return. And so ultimately, by me not being able to receive others, I'm really rejecting a part of them, right? And taking away from their experience and their ability. Yeah. And so for me, that was a really big like aha moment of, okay, I have room to grow. I have a new space to step in and start doing some work. So anyway, when I got to the, because I was literally in an Uber within 5 minutes of having that experience, and my heart was cracked wide open. I have this huge like epiphany of, oh my God, like, you have work to do, girl. And I get to the airport, which is like such a toxic environment. I have never felt so unsafe in my entire life. I was like, oh, everyone's so toxic and they're going to taint me with their negativity. I was like, I'm not prepared for this. It was quite an experience though. So I was curious, you know, how you received that and what that kind of, activity was like for you.
Yeah, it's so interesting. interesting to hear that you have trouble receiving. And I think that I've done a lot of work to be in my feminine energy more over the past couple of years. And I've really learned a lot about that and like how to receive. It's funny, when my friend came to visit me, I was driving us all over the island and I started to have not resentment, but I started to feel like I have to do it all. I have to drive us everywhere. And like, and she actually even offered, she's like, I can drive sometimes if you want. And my controlling nature at first was like, nobody can drive my car. Like it's some special, like my car needs a special driver or something. And then I was like, that's ridiculous, Heather. And then I was like, that would be lovely. Like I accept. And it was amazing to sit in the passenger seat of my own car and, you know, be like, oh, I can actually just enjoy the views of Kauai that normally I don't kind of notice as much because I'm more focused on the road. So I think it's such an important lesson for everyone to learn how to receive more, like wherever you're at, like yeah. Receiving more allows other people to share their gifts with you. And it makes life like really nice and enjoyable for you.
Absolutely. So Heather, I just want to thank you so much for coming on today. Where can everybody find you? Where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram. That's my favorite place to hang out. I'm there basically every day, Monday through Friday. So at Heather McConaughey is my Instagram. You can also follow me at fishbod.com. And I'm also on Instagram at fishbod. And then you can listen to my podcast, The Positive Thread. It's on iTunes and Spotify. And I'd love to connect with you. So if this episode connected with you in some way, or you want to just chat more with me about anything you heard, please send me a DM. I love to just get to know people.
Oh, thank you so much, Heather. You are such a beautiful soul, and I'm so grateful that we had an opportunity to connect and meet each other, and I look forward to supporting you and watching your beautiful journey continue to evolve. So I will make sure that I link all of the places that they can find you in the show notes. And if you guys aren't following her yet, please head over to Instagram and check her out, because she is awesome. She's doing amazing things, and she's doing them in an amazing, beautiful environment. So at least, you know, check out the views. They're beautiful. And you truly are an inspiration. So thank you for all of the work that you are doing. And I'm really proud of where you're at and where you're going to continue to go.
So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for spending this time with me on the Think Yourself Healthy podcast. I'm so grateful that you stopped by. If you could just take a minute to share this episode with someone you think who would love it, it would be amazing. Take a screenshot that you've listened to the episode and tag at Think Yourself Healthy and myself at Nutrition Vixen so that I can share it. Leave a review on iTunes to let us know how much you loved being here and what you want to hear next. Until next time, don't forget to think yourself healthy. Thanks again, guys. Bye.